Telc. English B1. Business. Mock Examination 1. Listening Comprehension. Part 1. You're going to hear five people. You'll hear each person only once. First, read items 41 to 45. After you've listened to each person, decide if the statement for each of the items 41 to 45 is true or not true. Mark your answer on the answer sheet. Now you will have half a minute to read the five statements.
Hello and good morning. Once again, we'd like to welcome all our listeners to today's Modern Times. Today we're talking to people about the working lives of people at management level. Five people with quite different experiences and views are going to tell us what they think about the working situation of people at management level.
Number 41.
The trouble with the whole debate is that it has more to do with macho than fact. Working hard seems to be the mentality of the majority of managers, even though they've got laptops, mobile phones and other such devices. The idea of working from home or working less seems to have passed them by.
Number 42.
I personally work long hours, but not as long as I used to. I don't do more than about 12 hours a day, and weekends I rarely work more than about 8 hours. And then I sometimes take a weekend off, and have at least 3 vacations a year.
Number 43. I'm bored, I'm tired, and I'm going nowhere. There are no more promotions. The work doesn't get any easier. Yet what's pushed hard in the firm? More commitment, more drive, more time for work. Get the client, keep the client, maximize the chargeable hours. To think I have another 11 years of this minimum. That is, if I do not lose my job in the meantime. Sometimes it can all just seem so pointless. Number 44.
Restructuring has added to job insecurity, reduced the number of employees, and heaped higher workloads on those who remain. Take, for example, the problem of burnout. A critical point about burnout, which is often missed, is that it is a company problem, not simply an individual one. Too often, managers sidestep the issue as being either outside their mandate or impossible to address. It should be at the top of the company agenda.
Number 45.
I no longer undertake stress training programs because I have come to recognize that training for individuals without going into the causes of organisational stress, is at best well-meaning, but at worst cruel. Organisational stress is not an individual's fault. Nothing will change, however, until corporate cultures stop implicitly encouraging managers to become workaholics. Until then, overwork will remain a fact of corporate life and death.
End of part one. Listening comprehension part two. You're going to hear a radio program. You will hear the program twice. First, read items 46 to 55. After you've listened to the program, decide if the statement for each of the items 46 to 55 is true or not true. Mark your answer on the answer sheet. Now you have 1 minute to read the statements.
Good evening. I'm Simon Sharp, and you're listening to Workplace Issues. This week, we're looking at health in the office, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Rosemary Parker from the University of Exeter. Dr. Parker, you're a lecturer in occupational medicine, is that right?
Yes. I study how people who have been injured at work can be helped to improve their quality of life and return to work.
When I think of injuries in the workplace, I usually think of nasty accidents happening mainly to manual workers. Builders, for example, miners, or those working in other heavy industries.
In the past, that was true. But with the decline of heavy industry across the developed world and the rise of technology, more and more of us are moving to office-based and service work. Data from the United States Bureau of Labor shows that approximately 60% of Americans are now employed in offices.
But even so, surely working at a desk is a lot safer than going down a coal mine.
Of course. And the number of workplace injuries resulting in death has obviously fallen. However, working in an office isn't as safe as it sounds.
What do you mean?
Well, office work requires very little movement and comes with its own risks. For example, most of us now spend up to 9 hours a day sitting in front of a computer. Sitting for long periods is an unnatural behavior for human beings. Besides being bad for our overall health, for our heart and lungs, which don't get the exercise they need, sitting puts pressure on the bones of the spine and pelvis. And when we do sit, most of us sit badly. Very few of us sit up straight.
The way our mothers told us to.
Exactly. We slouch into our chairs or we slump forward over our desks. Sitting badly can result in long-term injury to the lower back, shoulders, or neck. Furthermore, most of us don't move our arms very much. When we use a mouse or keyboard, we only make tiny repeated movements, doing the same things over and over again, which leads to problems with nerves and muscles. I have a patient who worked for a large software company and did very repetitive tasks all day long. He began to feel some pain in his arms. At first, he treated it with ice and painkillers, but the pain spread and got worse. Soon, he was in so much pain, he was unable to brush his teeth, cut the grass, or tie his shoes.
What other effects are there?
The effects aren't just physical. Employees often end up being signed off work for months. For people who have worked all their lives and who suddenly find themselves unemployed or on long-term sick leave, it can be very difficult mentally.
What can we do about this problem?
Well, thankfully, companies are now taking it seriously. Many offer workplace assessments to check staff have suitable chairs and desks and that their screens are at the correct height. Others offer annual training in healthy workplace behavior. That includes getting up and moving about as often as possible. Put the printer in a central location so you have to walk to it, or go out for a breath of fresh air.
That's good.
Yes, but it's also smart business sense and can save firms a lot of money. In fact, every year, American companies pay out more than $15 billion in compensation costs to employees who have been injured at work.
Thank you, Dr. Parker, for coming in to talk to us about this serious issue. Next week, we...
Now listen to the radio program again.
Good evening. I'm Simon Sharp, and you're listening to Workplace Issues. This week, we're looking at health in the office, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Rosemary Parker from the University of Exeter. Dr. Parker, you're a lecturer in occupational medicine, is that right?
Yes. I study how people who have been injured at work can be helped to improve their quality of life and return to work.
When I think of injuries in the workplace, I usually think of nasty accidents happening mainly to manual workers. Builders, for example, miners, or those working in other heavy industries.
In the past, that was true. But with the decline of heavy industry across the developed world and the rise of technology, more and more of us are moving to office-based and service work. Data from the United States Bureau of Labor shows that approximately 60% of Americans are now employed in offices.
But even so, surely working at a desk is a lot safer than going down a coal mine.
Of course. And the number of workplace injuries resulting in death has obviously fallen. However, working in an office isn't as safe as it sounds.
What do you mean?
Well, office work requires very little movement and comes with its own risks. For example, most of us now spend up to 9 hours a day sitting in front of a computer. Sitting for long periods is an unnatural behavior for human beings. Besides being bad for our overall health, for our heart and lungs, which don't get the exercise they need, sitting puts pressure on the bones of the spine and pelvis, and when we do sit, most of us sit badly. Very few of us sit up straight.
The way our mothers told us to.
Exactly. We slouch into our chairs, or we slump forward over our desks. Sitting badly can result in long-term injury to the lower back, shoulders, or neck. Furthermore, most of us don't move our arms very much. When we use a mouse or keyboard, we only make tiny repeated movements, doing the same things over and over again, which leads to problems with nerves and muscles. I have a patient who worked for a large software company and did very repetitive tasks all day long. He began to feel some pain in his arms. At first, he treated it with ice and painkillers, but the pain spread and got worse. Soon, he was in so much pain, he was unable to brush his teeth, cut the grass, or tie his shoes.
What other effects are there?
The effects aren't just physical. Employees often end up being signed off work for months. For people who have worked all their lives and who suddenly find themselves unemployed or on long-term sick leave, it can be very difficult mentally.
What can we do about this problem?
Well, thankfully, companies are now taking it seriously. Many offer workplace assessments to check staff have suitable chairs and desks and that their screens are at the correct height. Others offer annual training in healthy workplace behavior. That includes getting up and moving about as often as possible. Put the printer in a central location so you have to walk to it, or go out for a breath of fresh air.
That's good.
Yes, but it's also smart business sense and can save firms a lot of money. In fact, every year, American companies pay out more than $15 billion in compensation costs to employees who have been injured at work.
Thank you, Dr. Parker, for coming in to talk to us about this serious issue. Next week, we...
Now you have 1 minute to check your answers again. End of part 2. Listening comprehension part 3. You're going to hear 5 short texts. You will hear each text twice. After you've listened to each text, decide if the statement for each of the items 56 to 60 is true or not true. Mark your answer on the answer sheet. Now read number 56. You phone the accounts department of a supplier about an invoice.
Hello, this is Jim Rogers from the accounts department. I'm sorry I won't be available for the rest of the week due to restructuring of the department. If you have an urgent inquiry regarding one of our invoices, please phone Jill Summer on extension 4739. I shall be back at my desk as of Monday next and will be able to deal with any general inquiries you may have.
Listen to the text a second time. You phone the accounts department of a supplier about an invoice.
Hello, this is Jim Rogers from the accounts department. I'm sorry I won't be available for the rest of the week due to restructuring of the department. If you have an urgent inquiry regarding one of our invoices, please phone Jill Summer on extension 4739. I shall be back at my desk as of Monday next, and will be able to deal with any general inquiries you may have.
Now read number 57. You're at the check-in desk at the airport.
I'm sorry, there's been an error in the reservation system. Economy class is fully booked. We're upgrading you to business class. I assume that's okay.
Listen to the text a second time. You're at the check-in desk at the airport.
I'm sorry, there's been an error in the reservation system. Economy class is fully booked. We're upgrading you to business class. I assume that's okay.
Now read number 58. You're driving to Dover to take the car ferry to Calais.
Due to severe weather, ferry operations have been stopped between the Channel ports of Dover and Calais. Car drivers booked on these car ferries should proceed straight to the train terminal in Folkestone, where alternative booking and ticket arrangements have been made to enable a speedy crossing through the Channel Tunnel.
Listen to the text a second time. You're driving to Dover to take the car ferry to Calais.
Due to severe weather, ferry operations have been stopped between the Channel ports of Dover and Calais. Car drivers booked on these car ferries should proceed straight to the train terminal in Folkestone, where alternative booking and ticket arrangements have been made to enable a speedy crossing through the Channel Tunnel.
Now read number 59. You're organising a sales conference for your company and get a message on your answering machine.
This is the Victoria Hotel speaking. My name is Susan Brown. Thank you for your inquiry regarding rooms for your sales conference next month. Our large conference room will be available on the dates you mentioned. However, at the moment, we do not have the required number of bedrooms for your group. We may have to accommodate 3 or 4 people in the Plaza Hotel, just 2 minutes' walk from here. Please contact us as soon as possible so that we can finalise details.
Listen to the text a second time. You're organising a sales conference for your company and get a message on your answering machine.
This is the Victoria Hotel speaking. My name is Susan Brown. Thank you for your inquiry regarding rooms for your sales conference next month. Our large conference room will be available on the dates you mentioned. However, at the moment, we do not have the required number of bedrooms for your group. We may have to accommodate 3 or 4 people in the Plaza Hotel, just 2 minutes' walk from here. Please contact us as soon as possible so that we can finalise details.
Now read number 60. You are on a business trip to Britain and return to your hotel.
Good evening. There's a message for you. A Mr. Thompson from ABC Engineering has called. He would like to bring forward tomorrow morning's meeting, if it's okay with you. If not, would you please phone him this evening? Here's his phone number.
Listen to the text a second time. You are on a business trip to Britain and return to your hotel.
Good evening. There's a message for you. A Mr. Thompson from ABC Engineering has called. He would like to bring forward tomorrow morning's meeting, if it's okay with you. If not, would you please phone him this evening? Here's his phone number.
That's the end of listening comprehension. Thank you for listening.